Hello everyone, Wilhelm Hast here with the podcast Winning the Game. Here I love to share perspectives, learnings and insights from over 25 years of training thousands of leaders in how to lead themselves and others with more clarity, power and ease. And today I have a guest here, Fee, welcome.
Thank you, Wilhelm. It's an honor to be here.
Great to have you here. So you're called Fee always, but your full name is Fiona Jacob, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we are colleagues in our company, and we also happen to be husband and wife.
Yes, we do.
And I asked you to come on today because you have some interesting perspectives to share about a topic that is so valuable and so deep and so without an end to learning that we will dive into. And that's the topic of listening.
Yes. One of my favorite topics, actually.
Yes. But first of all, a little bit about yourself. I know, of course, that you have 15 plus years of coaching leaders and executives from many different countries, and you also have a very interesting background professionally. So why don't you share a little bit about your background, who you are?
Absolutely. So my background actually is a nurse, which sounds like, oh, okay, I know many nurses. But I've had a kind of an unusual life in that I left Ireland when I was 25, and I've lived in 10 different countries in the world, actually most of them in the Middle East. And I've been leading teams of up to 1,000 people and more, helping transform services so that patients get better care. And that's been a very fascinating and interesting piece in my life, because when you live and work in the Middle East, first of all, there are different cultural norms that you have to work with and accept. But also, the teams that I was leading were from 42 different nationalities. So listening, leading, being clear, being a powerful leader in those instances actually required us to work a little differently than we would, let's say, if I was leading in Ireland or England or the USA, because there's a lot of different things in the mix. And so over 25 years, I have learned so much about how to lead people, how to listen to people, and also wake up their hearts so that they want to work from a heartfelt space. Because when you're transforming services, it's about transforming the hearts of the people back to what they love to do and what got them into the profession, you could say, in the first place. And so one sense is bringing people back home to who they are and the heart that they are, so that they're giving from that space, whether it's nursing from that space, whether it's doing medicine from that space. What people do is when they find that home in themselves, they find power, they find clarity, they find creative ways of doing things that look, you know, from the outside, that might look really, really hard. And people thrive. And when people thrive in what they do and love, then the people around them, including the patients, also thrive. So that's part of what I've loved about my journey.
Great. And the topic of listening is, we could spend a couple of days talking about it, yeah. But we have some time today to dive into the value of becoming more awake to the dimension of listening, I would say. And we'll explore back and forth. I'll ask questions. You'll do most of the sharing today, I think, and I'll keep inquiring with you, because the way we listen either opens up power, resourcefulness, and capacity, or it actually starts to shrink the capacity and power and resourcefulness with ourselves and others. And I know you went to Prague lately and spoke at a large conference about listening. So why don't you share a little bit about the conference, the trip, and what that was about?
Well, first of all, it was fabulous. It was the first World Listening Summit ever. It was being held in Prague in Czechoslovakia, and 2,100 people showed up either live or online to this three-day event. And I was asked to both speak on day one and also to lead a workshop on the Sunday, which was the third day of the conference. And that was to work with a smaller group of people and help them around listening, specifically listening to people that we don't like listening to, which can sometimes be our partners or our kids or our parents or people at work that we may not like. So it was, I really enjoyed it. First of all, I love the topic of listening. If I might say, I have been a very bad listener in my life, and I have been a very specific listener in my life. And when I woke up to how bad a listener I was, and also kind of the filters that I had for listening, it really changed the game for me, not only as a leader, but as a coach.
Why don't you share a bit about waking up to the fact that you didn't listen as well as you thought? Because that was a fairly recent discovery. And I love that, because we can discover that we are not great listeners, and then we get a little more open in our listening, and as life goes on 10 years later, we can still wake up to, oh my God, I don't listen well at all. And you had one of those wake ups a couple of years ago, I think, right?
It probably was 2018-19, maybe it would be helpful if I actually shared how I learned to listen. So we all come into this life as kids. And for those of us who have the gift of hearing, we have this beautiful capacity to listen. And over time, we develop patterns and beliefs and values around listening, what we should listen to. Sometimes it's listening to keep ourselves safe. Sometimes it's, as a teenager, not listening to anybody at all because we think that we're right. And so we have different patterns and values around listening. But one of the patterns that I discovered just looking at this before the conference was, wow, I worked in the operating room, and I worked in the neurosurgical operating room as my first job when I qualified as a nurse. And first of all, if you take yourself back to COVID, you will know what it's like when people are wearing masks. It was really hard to hear what people are trying to say. So I was listening, kind of this kind of listening, like eager, anxious listening to get it right. And the second part of listening...
So let me...
Yeah, sure.
Make sure that gets communicated. So when you first started working, like for real working, you were in operating rooms.
Yes.
And in those operating rooms, it was really important to get things done the correct way, I can assume.
Oh, yes.
It was brain and heart surgery or whatever it was.
I started off with brain surgery, then moved to heart surgery, but yeah.
And people were behind masks all the time, and there you were, eager to do a great job, and it shaped your way of listening. Because it must have been difficult hearing or not reading people's emotions and faces and stuff. Right?
Not even reading people's lips, which we can be quite used to as well. But even more than that, the brain surgery was very interesting. There were two types. One was really fast, emergency, we need to save this brain, we need to save this life. And so everything was going da-da-da-da-da-da. So you needed to be on. So my listening was developed listening to respond, but listening to respond really fast. Mm. Like, you know, need this instrument. The second listening was even more interesting. So when the surgeons would do tumor surgery, when they would do aneurysm surgery, and they're deeper down in the brain, their eyes are in the microscope. So they don't even know what instrument that you're giving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, until they see it under the microscope. And you don't want to give them the wrong instrument, because that's devastating, or potentially devastating. So the listening here was also listening to respond, but it was listening from I've got to get this right, because you don't want the surgeon to take their eyes from the microscope and have to look over at the instrument table and tell you what they need. So there was this built up of listening, which was fast decision, and then I've got to get it right. So there was kind of like a right, wrong. And so it was kind of always on like this. This was my listening.
Wow. And as you listen to this, I can get present to a dynamic of being around people who are listening to respond, get it right. That's great in an operating room.
Yes.
But how does it work with family life or, I don't know, relationships or being a great coach or leading others? Well, we can start to hear here that, oh, that's one way of listening, but that's not optimal in all circumstances of life, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think when I got into my manager and director roles, that's how I used to listen. So when somebody would come in to, you know, share a problem, tell me what they needed, or like they needed help, I need to get this right. And it was speed. And as opposed to really listening to somebody and actually hearing sometimes what I would call beyond the words, because of course people use words. It's not that we don't use words when we speak. But if you start to notice, and I'm guessing most people who listen to this podcast, there'll be times where you're going, you're listening, But actually, you think that there's something more. There's something more to be heard, or there's something behind the words that somebody's trying to say. Mm. Like, they might be sharing something, but actually, behind the words, they're scared, or they're afraid, or concerned, but the words sound okay. So it's listening also to something that's beyond what the words will say.
So it's very common, I think, for human beings to go, no, I'm listening. Yes, I'm listening. Yeah, I'm listening. And forgetting that there are nuances or different ways to listen. So it's not that you're listening or not. What you start to point to here beautifully is that there is certain ways of listening or types of listening or approaches to listening that we can have. And one early one you had is going to be quick response and the right response and being on. And always listening like that is not helpful in all situations. So back to that wake up you had when you discovered, wow, I'm not as great a listener as I thought I was. When was that and what happened there? Do you remember the last one or latest one?
There's probably one every day. I think that there's two pieces for me around this. I think the first piece was I was actually listening to a client. And when the client was talking, I noticed actually that I was listening to my own thinking about what the client was saying. And I was going, do I agree? I wonder how I can help. So what can happen to us when we're listening is we hear the words the client or the team member or our family member is saying, but we're already deciding, is this good or bad? Do I agree with this? This is the 100th time they've said that before. Oh, they're telling that story again. And so what I ended up doing and noticing is, oh my God, I'm listening to myself, listening to the client. So it was like almost like a contaminated space. It was filled of my own thinking about the person or what they were saying, rather than just allowing what the client said to land with me.
I get it. You could probably notice that listening to this podcast even, that you have commentary in your head about what Fiona is saying, right? Or what I'm saying. And we listen to the other person, or we listen to our own thinking about the other person, or a mix. So there is layers to this listening is what I pick up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for me, there were a couple of things around that, which is when I'm in judgment listening or good or bad, or do I agree, or sometimes just listening to show somebody that I'm paying attention like this. Mm. that there's a lot less listening going on.
Yeah.
I think very soon after that, once I noticed that, I was listening to a conversation between two of my mentors, Michael Neal and Mavis Kern. And what Mavis said, and it just struck me so deeply, she said, we're listening to another person so that we can feel a golden cord between their heart and ours.
Say that again.
Yeah. It's in any conversation, and this will be with somebody that you love or somebody you don't quite love today, the impact of listening, the possibility of listening, is that we create a golden cord between their heart and ours. So we're feeling a connection. Listening is about a connection and a creation. Hmm. It's not around, do I agree, do I not agree, all this stuff, the machinations of our thinking, but it is just feeling the other person, feeling the other person's heart, feeling what it is they want. And I think the second part of this for me is, if I'm not curious, I'm not listening. And that for me is one of the biggest signs I'm not listening. Now, the thing about it is a lot of people say, well, how do I become curious? And curiosity is a natural state. It comes from when we're open-hearted and when we start to listen without a lot of thinking on our mind. And there are a lot of political debates right now about, you know, who's going to be president of the United States and who agrees with what. And all of that is we get onto a side, whether it's religion or politics or I'm right or you're wrong, or as husband and wife we have, yeah. I'm right, you're wrong, and all of that. But the piece around this is when we lose the curiosity and we get into the I'm right, you're wrong, or this is good or bad, or I judge it as this, we have lost listening. Because the curiosity is not solely that we're listening to agree, but rather we're listening to get a sense of what the person's trying to say. And it's back to that golden cord, which is, I can listen to you. I'm not contaminated by your listening or your judgments or your the way of that you see the world.
Yeah.
But I can hear it and feel it and let it rest inside of me. And then I can come back and say, hey, you know what? I don't see it the same way, which is fine.
Yeah.
But you've heard and listened. And there is something so profound that when a person feels listened to, it actually changes the game. And people don't realize this. I had an experience where I went into jails in San Jose with one of my mentors. Kathy Casey was her name. And in this, it was the gang unit. It was not a nice place to hang out in the sense of if you look at it from the outside, these are people you don't want to be in conversation with or even possibly want to listen to because you just think these have murdered people, they've done drugs, they've raped people, and you know all of the kind of gamut of things that kind of scary in the world.
Yeah. So you and Kathy went into a jail. For which purpose?
Well, the purpose was really to help. It's an interesting question.
I mean, what were you doing
there? Oh, well, we were having conversations about how humans worked,
mm-hmm.
or how we create our experience and how we get to do the things that we do and what feeds that.
Yeah.
That thought-created experience that we talk about both on this podcast and in what we teach. But also about the who we are as people beneath the behaviors and the actions that we've taken. Like who we are at core. How it is that we come to this world with this energy and aliveness. What it is that shows up that when we get quiet and present to life, we get, you know, new ideas, we get clarity, we get wisdom, we get a sense of compassion for ourselves and others. We have an experience of love and understanding and gratitude. Not that we have to apply it to anything, but it's just how we show up in the world. But back to San Jose.
Yes.
It was fascinating to see that when people really got heard and listened to by Kathy and myself, it accepted even for there was a behavior that's why they're in jail, but accepted beyond that, which is the human being that they are, which in one respect is perfect, whole and complete, and has behaved badly, and is in jail. How, what actually shifts is their way of being. And in fact, some of the gang members who would say, I am more free than the guards. Because I know who I am. I have found the truth of who I am. And I am free in my mind, even though I may not be free in the world. And I just found that fascinating that when people can be listened to, that's the potential, that's what can open up for people. And this is true whether it's the Samaritan, somebody listening to somebody, you know, thinking about committing suicide, or somebody who's committed a crime, or somebody who is in our family who we don't want to listen to because we think that they're either boring or irritating or frustrating or whatever. It's there is a space inside of us that when we have that connection, something opens up, something gets created that's different.
So we're always listening to something, either our own thinking, judgment, who's right, who's wrong, our opinions about what the other person is saying, doing, or how they behaved, or who they are, or we tap into this space of open listening, listening, being curious, like you said, where our own inner judgment kind of falls off and we get more and more present with other people.
Yeah. Something came to mind for me over the last couple of days when we decided we were going to do this podcast. There are different ways of saying this. Mm-hmm. So some people say it's listening like a video camera would listen, which kind of takes everything in, but there's no...
So what does that mean? Listening like a video camera, yes.
Well, it takes everything in without judgment. It captures everything, maybe a bit like this podcast today. It captures everything, but the video camera doesn't have a judgment. It just allows it all in.
Hmm. So that's something one could experiment with, right? Just sitting down with a person and listening like a video camera, like I allow for everything to come in, but I don't react to everything, but I kind of notice as much as I can, but I just let it be. There's no judgment, no fixing, nor correcting, nor judging. It's just what is said is being said, and then there's something else being said.
Yeah.
Cool. Like a video camera. I like that. Yes.
One of my mentors called it listening like a rock with ears. I have no idea. It's just kind of a cool way of looking at it. I have never seen a rock with ears, but it's the same thing. It's just like, it allows, we can take anything in. We are uncontaminated by what we take in through our ears.
I can get that. I can be a rock with ears. Just sitting here, even like a rock. Nothing goes on. I don't get shaken or moved or something. I'm like a rock and I have big ears, so I can hear and I can let it be. And whatever is said is being okay.
And my version of this, and this may or may not land with people, is I call it soul listening.
Okay, soul listening. Say more.
There's an intelligence inside of me. And in every human being. And it's back to that connection again. It's just when I'm listening from that space and they speak into that space, they find their way back home to their own perfection and well-being. And I don't think there's anything that I can do better for a human being than that.
Yeah, that was moving. Yeah. So not listening from your mind, not listening from your judgment, but listening from your soul to the other person's soul. And what's moving about that? I got moved, you got moved. So what happened there? I'm curious. It looked like I wanted to force an answer, but it's something that touched me when you said that, and it touched you too. And that's a beautiful illustration of something shifted in this conversation because you spoke about this soul level connection to another human being. And that is moving, it's touching, it's inspiring, it's nurturing, it's a different space.
I mean, you could get even deeper with the conversation and say it then at one level that we are all one being, so we're actually listening to ourselves.
Yeah, this was interesting and unplanned, but it really brings me back to this space you point to, that when we listen from nothing going on, inside a rock, I don't think there's much going on. In terms of thinking or listening or inside a video camera, inside a microphone, or inside of a, just being there with somebody, right? Then something can be said and heard that's completely outside of what I had planned or thought or even know how to relate to. It just is what it is.
It is, and I guess my experience here, Wilhelm, is that listening does me the world of good, but it does the client the world of good. But more than that, it becomes creative.
Yeah.
So when people find themselves listened to and accepted for who they are, all of the good, the bad, the whatever, doesn't matter, you know, whatever, there is something that shifts within them where they are able to come back to life in a different way. They come back to life themselves more curious. They come back to life with more creative ideas of maybe how to solve what's going on for them. That listening invokes a creation.
Yeah.
And that creation can be so helpful, so transformative, so changeful, so full of possibility that it's just like, wow, why wouldn't we want to do that more of the time?
Yeah, great. I think we should come back to this conversation in some future podcast and explore further. Because as a leader, what strikes me now, and that's what's so interesting working with you and the kind of work we do, that we can have our scripts and plans and whatever, but if you stay present in the moment and truly listen, there's new things opening up, right? So from this healthy space of nothing going on really, there are things we can actually bring to the conversation that then points the conversation in different directions. We could start to explore things, we could ask certain kinds of questions, we could dive deeper into the present, or we could dive deeper into a possible future we want to explore. We could look at what does it mean to lead other people from this space. So there's many doors that became available from this place of, could call it nothingness or soul-to-soul connection. So I'd like to invite you back some time and explore further on from this place of listening that opened up on this conversation, where to go next. And I'd like to leave this podcast with a pointer for anybody listening, like, how could you take what we said on this podcast into your life if you were a listener? Is it just bringing curiosity to a conversation, or trying to be a rock with ears? Or if you would give a tip or even a small advice to somebody on how to take this podcast into their life, what would you say them as a finish?
Well, I think awareness is the key. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to have some kind of listening. I have, as I have described, various, and there are more kinds of listening that I have as well that can be helpful in some situations or some parts of my life that are no longer helpful or can be helpful sometimes. It's just notice what kind of listening you have. Are you listening to fix? Are you listening? Are you judging? And it's not that that in itself is right or wrong. It's just the more that you're aware of the kind of listening that you have, the more you go, oh, you start to get a sense of, well, maybe that's not helpful. Mm. And when we see something as not helpful, we kind of are more awake to how we listen. So I think that would be a first step for me, is just go, what goes on for you when you listen to somebody?
Right. Just be curious on what goes on for you in your head or your mind or your listening as you're listening to somebody else. Great. Thanks for joining in today.
Great to be here.
Great. And I'm back most days of the week with podcasts inside the Winning Your Game podcast series. Many of them are like 5-7 minutes. So it's easy to tap in and get a short kind of inspiration for the day. And sometimes they are longer, like today. And you could also go to the web domain wilhelmhaus.com for more information about what I do and we do. So thanks for listening in today to this podcast, and welcome back anytime. Thank you, Fi.
Most welcome. See you soon.
Bye-bye.